You are listening to Living the Talk, conversations brought to you by Judy Kayal Irakoze. Honestly, I am simply trying to mainstream African feminists, African women who are simply existing, African women who are brilliant, intelligent, and well-equipped to tell their own experiences. Remember, we are owning our narratives and centering our own story. Hi, it's your girl, Judy Kayal. Again, welcome to a new episode. I am recording live from the studio, aka my hotel room. I'm in Johannesburg, and I am live with Hawa Wilson. We are here for the Digital Feminism Convening by Oxfam, and I made a new friend, a badass feminist. I'm going to tell you why she's a badass feminist. This woman, the first day we met, we were just seated, chilling, and then out of nowhere, in the middle of a quietness, she said, "I'm such a boss lady." I felt it. Can you imagine giving yourself such a compliment? But she has been nothing but joy and comfort. And I'm excited for you to hear about her. She's from Liberia. She's a feminist. And she will tell you more. Hi, Awa.
Hi, Chudika. How are you?
Good. Thank you for accepting to do this.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's start. Tell us about you. Who are you?
I am a youth leader, an advocate, and not just an advocate, but a feminist, a young, a growing feminist. So basically, that's what I'm called to do, and that's what I have passion in doing, most especially advocating and giving voices to the voiceless, most especially those women and girls who does not have the space to go out and speak out for themselves. So I create the space and speak on issues that are affecting women in the broader sense as a whole.
Tell us a little bit on how long have you been advocating for women?
Let me go back. Growing up as a child, I grew up in a family where I saw most of my aunts suffer from domestic and gender-based violence.
Okay.
Because of some religion, some cultural background, some social norms. So it always pinned me down in my heart. I'm like, one day I started to say, okay, I'm going to be the voice. I'm going to be the one to change it. So since then, I grew up with the notion or the idea that someday I'm going to be in this space where I can speak out for women. So I came into this space that was in 2007.
Oh, wow.
At first, and when I was about to graduate from high school, six, seven, so I started being as a mentee at the Paramount Young Women Initiative. And since then, they have been mentoring and training. And after some time, I felt a bit discouraged because of the way our society is made up. But then I'm like, okay, nothing gonna stop me from doing what I have passion for. So I officially came back into the field in 2014. And since then, I have been actively engaged into women work and speaking out for young women and adolescent girls.
I want to pick up on what you just talked about, being discouraged.
Yeah.
You just acknowledged that the work is tiring on how patriarchy is.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit, how have you been handling the stress, the emotional burnout? How do you deal with that?
Managing emotional stress and those problems and issues that occurs and arise every day with the feminist job, it's hard. But what I can say is that I think my self-motivational spirit has been the one keeping me true. So I have vowed or committed to myself that no matter what, I'm going to keep fighting, because if I'm waiting out there I keep waiting out for someone to come out and serve as an inspiration, it's going to be very difficult. So I have already made that promise within myself. So, and then the thing is that nothing is with us all. So we have to be involved in it. So the change that we want, we have to push for it. So in the absence of that, no one's going to push in for that change for you. So that's what keep driving me every day.
Oh, wow. You talked about keeping fighting.
Yeah.
How is the society in Liberia? It was my first time meeting someone from Liberia.
Okay.
That's why I was so excited. Tell us, how is it? Is it patriarchal? How is the status of women and girls?
Wow. So, Liberia being one of the countries in Africa to have the first female president yet, the patriarchal system in Liberia is very high. Mm-hmm. So regardless of us having the first female president, but we still have to struggle with the issue of patriarchy, because since the formation of Liberia, the establishment, that's how we have been operating under the high patriarchal influence that continues to diminish and undermine and underestimate, undervalue women and girls. So it's at a very high level. So even now within our House of Representative or House of Parliament, there are lesser women than men. So out of 73 lawmakers, you have like 7 to 8. So how do we expect those laws and policies that should be passed or in our favor, that should be supporting and promoting women's work, are being passed in that space where you have a limited women representation? So it's really difficult. So that's why we are into this, because we am 100% convicted that I'm sure someday we've come that Liberia will have a huge female representation in whatever sector it is.
One of your projects was called My Voice, My Body.
Okay, so the program is My Voice, My Body. It is our mentoring program, and every year we try to change the topic. So the overall theme for this mentoring program is My Body, I Lead.
Okay.
So last year I had a theme Empower to Lead. So this year I have the theme My Body, My Voice. Because I feel that once a woman or a lady have absolute control over her body, she's going to have voice.
I love what you just said, absolute control.
Yes, I used to work,
which means total control.
Total control. So once she have total control over her body, what she has to decide, what is right, what can I do now, is it appropriate, is it right that I do it now, obviously she's going to have voice for herself. So she's not going to be like, you need to get married to this guy, or you need to be with this guy. No. But she's going to be like, okay, I think I want to get into this at the age 30 or 35. It's her will. Or probably I don't even want to get into a marital life. It's her will. So that's why we call it My Body, My Voice. So we are now educating and empowering young women, adolescent girls, to be able to take absolute control and feel that sense of belongings, that my body belongs to me. Not to any other person, but to my very self.
Ooh, that's powerful. That is completely and total powerful. I'm gonna ask you a personal question. Are you ready?
Go ahead. I'm all open up for this discussion.
Okay, what is self-love to you?
Wow, self-love to men is that self energy, that self time that I allocate, and that our self attribute, and that self dedication that I continue to commit to my personal life, rather than someone telling me that you do this, you do that. So self love for me means I'm going to have absolute total power in my own space, in my own environment, where I'm controlling everything that concerns my life.
Has it been a time where you did not like yourself?
Yes.
Do you like yourself now?
I love beyond myself. So
if I know that. I know that. You're such a boss lady. No, I want to know, how did you survive that space? What made you to love? How did you embrace yourself?
Okay, so it happened this way, right? It was one time I was hitting by in society, culture, norm. And I'm like, growing up, my aunt always used to tell me how I'm like, yes. She said, you know why? I said, no. She said, I'm not going forward in school because of you. So whatever I didn't do in this world, I expect you to go beyond that bound. So it's because of you, I'm a high school graduate, so I expect you to be beyond a PhD holder, if there is anything beyond being a PhD holder. So I said, okay, and I left it. That was down the line. Mm-hmm. So growing up, peer pressure, peer influencing your friends and being into real social life, being, you know, getting to married. But then I'm like, I want to get married too. I want to. But then after some time, I took a complete look at myself where I have to go before the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I stood stripped naked and I asked myself, Howard, what is your worth? That was the question that came to my mind. You worth? And then after I asked myself that question, Howard, what is your worth? What do you want to do? What are you on? What is your purpose in life, for this life that you want to live, that you want to get into marital life? Which, of course, I know it is not wrong, but then the next thought that, are you prepared and ready for it? Because once you get into it now as a tender age, will you be able to achieve those goals and dreams that you desire for yourself? So that was when I caught myself in a sense that it is not now. So what can you develop more love for yourself and more passion for what you want to do rather than just settling down for anything? So that was how. And I have so much energy that I tell people I'm not going to settle for anything, most especially with someone who does not have that energy like me. Yes, so that was that time.
That's really, really powerful. And especially I love that you just shared your aha moment, that moment where you realize, you know what, fuck it up. I love to say that I am on a fuck it up moment. Why are you laughing?
That's nice, because I like seeing more people like, fuck it up, I'm damn tired now, I need to move forward with another chapter. So that's why I'm laughing.
And I know the few days we have spent, you have seen it. I love freedom.
You get it all right.
So my other question for you is, what is freedom to you? How do you define freedom?
Freedom for me in my uncommon space is freedom in every aspect, means having the space, and not just having the space, but being able to actually use the space and resources that are around you, that are giving you or any hindrance or any detection without any offense from whether community member, whether society, whether the state, whether the government. So that's how I look at freedom, because we cannot talk about freedom every other day, but yet we are not free. We are not having the spaces. We don't have the platform that give ears to our problems, that give ears to our issues, and that give help us find solutions and remedy to those issues. So freedom is not just about moving around, but freedom is being from mentally having psychological freedom, mental freedom, social freedom, and whatever term you want to classify your own freedom in. So my freedom is not just about moving around.
My last question for you is, how is the political situation in Liberia?
With the political scenario in Liberia is quite challenging, because our system has been built wherein our society, cultural norms and tradition try to put women behind the scene, that women are just good for the kitchen. So back in the days and even now, that's why we have low representation into politics of women. So we have started promoting a program called Women Political Participation, wherein we encourage and support other women who are willing. And even with our mentoring programs and mentoring clubs, we have the leadership component that runs directly to providing leadership skills, because we feel that women do not have those skills that are needed, because we are all grown up with like, okay, this is what you are to do. So even with gender lifelines that we define in our homes, it gives ascribed roles to only women. Say you are. So for example, if you are in a home as a mother in my country, you see most women are go to buy a toy for their children. They always buy a gun. They buy a car. They buy a helicopter, mm-hmm. airplane for the boy child, and then for a girl child, they might like to buy you a toy, yeah. or like a doll baby that you should braid the head, mm-hmm. or buy you pots, buy you a cooking utensil. Me, so that's for me, in a sense, it's a sense of limitation.
Limiting
you, the girl or the female, that this is where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to shoot gun. You don't have to become a pilot. You don't have to become an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So these, you know, these are the general lifeline that mm-hmm. minimize our, and are hindering our participation at all levels in Liberia. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have started working on our leadership components to see how well we can have more women in years to come, hoping that by 2032 going forward, we can be over. And interestingly, this was the first phase of my former executive director contesting mm-hmm. in one of the counties as a senator for a senatorial by-election. And unfortunately for her, she did not win. But
that was a nice step.
Yes,
at least other women from Liberia who saw her yes. saw that it's possible yes, for them to yes. run for office. Yes. Yeah, so, which is important.
Which is important. So she tried that, and we all supported her. And comes 2023 during our presidential and general election, I'm sure of that. We're going to carry a lot of women and support them.
Thank you so much, Hawa. I loved our conversation. And this was Hawa Wilson. If you liked her, if you loved what she said, and if you want to connect, find her on Twitter. You have Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you and welcome.
Je crois que les cas d'incident que nous recevons viennent très rarement ou bien quoi. C'est très rarement les jeunes avec lesquels nous travaillons.
Mm-hmm.
Parce que nous prenons quand même les dispositions, nous faisons des analyses de risques et on voit quelles sont les activités qu'il faut mener, lesquelles on ne peut pas mener si les risques sont tellement élevés.
Mm-hmm.
Donc, au niveau national, et le programme de travail avec les jeunes dans les actions de plaidoyer et autres, nous avons relevé un certain nombre de risques, comme quoi engager et mettre les jeunes, et surtout les jeunes filles devant les actions de plaidoyer, et peuvent avoir des risques sur elles, dans leur propre communauté, dans leur propre famille. Donc elles peuvent faire, disons, l'objet de représailles ou... Oui, de la part de leur famille ou de leur communauté. Mmh. Mais face à ces risques pour lesquels nous sommes conscients, nous prenons sur nous, au